afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, it is. And we have our good friend Wendy Wilson joining us today for the first segment of the program from Apothecary Herbs. And we're always, always excited to have her here. She's got great information today. So I'm going to get to the market report today. The sooner we go through that, the sooner we can talk to Wendy Wilson, because I don't think anybody wants to hear what I have to say.
Why?
About gold and silver prices.
Oh, yes, you're not in a good mood today.
Nah. Well, actually, it is a great buying opportunity, and people did take advantage of the lower prices, but and for some reason, my gold prices are not showing, so we might have to start. There they are. We have gold today down $13.30 in the New York spot price after market at $1,242.70. They whacked silver today down 25 cents at $15.87. Platinum was down 18, the biggest loser of the day, 832, and palladium was down $4 at 942. And that all equals the dollar being stronger, 0.61 at 94.75. Crude oil took a beating today, down almost $4, 3.59. It's a huge, huge drop in crude oil today at 70.52. And the paper markets were negative all day, you know, but they were negative 200 points from the get-go, so they really didn't do, you know, a whole lot. Again, they dropped, stayed, and here we are, down 219 points on the Dow at 24,700. The NASDAQ was down 42 points at 7,716. The S&P is down 19 at 2,774. 10-year yield, that was down a little over 1% at 2.84% on the yield. And all foreign markets were down, you know, pretty big overnight, you know, a little over, you know, 1% for most of them. Germany was down 1.5%. Hong Kong was down 1.25%, you know, so it's still a little bit low numbers. And again, it's all tied, I believe, to the tariff talk. And that is, we talked about this last week, and, you know, we might have to touch on it once again, that the foreign investment in the United States plunged to 32% in 2017. So there's a lot of things to talk about financially. I'm also going to do a comparison on $20 gold pieces today to show folks what a great job that they're doing, even though that in the past month, they have dropped, you know, we've had some pretty good price drops for the spot gold. And $20 gold pieces are really holding in quite well. So, but first, Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi.
I thought we'd talk about torturing the truth today.
Oh, torture. All right.
Yes, yes. Always good. Step into me torture chamber. Here we are. Yes. Well, you know, I've mentioned in the past that, you know, countries like some of the countries in Europe have laws now that prohibit people from communicating amongst each other any information that involves natural therapies or any healing that is mentioned outside of the medical science realm. Also, I don't know if you heard, but Facebook recently scrubbed its pages that removed a lot of information on natural therapies, even pages involving meditation. Did you hear that?
No.
They remove a lot of things, yes.
Well, they're calling natural healing fake news. So they want to scrub that. So that's why they're doing that. Now, I wondered how long this nonsense would take to get to the United States, but sadly, it's in development now. The taking the lead, prohibiting a lot of this information from reaching your ears, is started in the state of California. They're trying to censor free speech. However, they're disguising it. So censorship of free speech is really being garnished under the fake news agenda. So I want you to keep that in mind. So in California, it's Senator Dr. Richard Pan. He put his name to a bill. This hasn't been passed yet, but he wants to make it a crime for anyone to question the health and safety of information the health authorities publish, such as what the pharmaceutical industry say and what medical science says, let's say about vaccines. You wouldn't be able to question the health and safety and effectiveness of vaccines. What do you think of that?
It'll never happen.
Well, anyone that would actually challenge or put forth any information saying, let's say vaccines injure people, according to this bill, you would be at risk of sanctions under the law. So the bill is SB 1424, and the title is Internet Social Media False Information Strategic Plan. So this has potentially broad scope. And the bill would entail really any information given that would oppose, you know, pharmaceutical products or scientific medicine. It also labels information regarding the natural alternative therapy area as fake news. And you know how bills, they get amended, they expand their reach. So this is like, you know, the foot in the door. And any ambiguous wording really is there on purpose so that the judicial powers can interpret the law any way they like. Okay. And you know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's look at these speech crimes, because that's what they're calling that kind of thing. We're moving into dangerous territory. If SB 1424 does get passed, it would remove a lot of free speech on health alternatives and sanction those who do talk against the law. So here's what we know about the bill. It would become a crime to question any official story that's published by the government or scientific medicine or the pharmaceutical companies. For instance, when government agencies publish vaccine data, any of that information on the treatments and successfulness of flu shots, all that stuff, they wouldn't tolerate that information being challenged. They also, there's a danger here too, because if you've got, you know, settled, you know, accepted published data on something, scientists may not want to challenge any current treatments that may be damaging because of this law. Also, this would remove limited exemptions on vaccines and possibly prohibit attorneys from arguing for their clients the damaging non-official evidence on vaccines. Think about that. It would also force any news outlet that's offering differing opinions on these treatments, they would be required to publish a disclaimer saying the information you just read or just heard is considered fake news. Yep.
Well, yeah, that's incredible.
Someone's off their rocking chair.
Well, I know. And what if it gets passed? It's supposed to pass April 2019. Passed, I'm with you, Dave. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope people wake up. But in this bill, the California, through the Department of Justice, there would have to hire personnel to enforce penalties that would be known as speech crimes. So, for example, if let's say you had an independent media publish a story on the dangers of vaccines and their toxic ingredient list, the person would have to say, hey, this deviates from the official medical story, so it's fake news, or they'd be labeled a speech criminal. So, and now it will be interesting, it would be interesting to see. Let me ask you this. Do you think the author of this bill, Dr. Richard Pan, do you think he was financially influenced?
The question is, how influenced was he?
Was he?
Oh, we're going to get to that. Oh, yes. Well, interestingly...
You sure his last name isn't Orwell?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, in June on June 18th, 2015, the Sacramento Bee published a story titled Drug Companies Donate Millions to California Lawmakers Before Vaccine Debate. Now, back then, they were looking at Senate Bill 277, and it did get passed. It was to eliminate vaccine exemptions of personal belief and religion. So the only exemption left now in California is medical, if you don't want to get your kids vaccinated. So the politicians back then now were accused of taking donation money from vaccine manufacturers and other pharmaceutical companies, but the allegations were promptly dismissed by the Senate and also the drug companies. Of course it was. So the lobby group, Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, denied any wrongdoing. But the paper wrote that members of the California legislature received over $2 million from the pharmaceutical companies between 2013 and 14, just around this time this bill came out. So there are these, you're talking about the top 20 political leaders in California influenced, these guys influenced the Assembly and the Senate health committees. They get all this money, and then they influence the health committees. So the Sacramento Bee said, Senator Richard Pan, to answer your question, Dave, he's a Democrat. He authored SB 1424. He received over $95,000 in campaign cash. Okay. He received more money than his legislative colleagues. And also, according to the paper, the California state filings on the pharmaceutical lobbyists, their activity also showed they gave $500,000 in additional donations to outside campaign spending groups to help elect the current members, re-elect them, and also $3 million additional funds for the legislative session of 2013 and 14 for the governor, the legislature, and the pharmacist board. Now, come on, you know this should be criminal.
Shocking.
It is. Well, Governor Jerry Brown did sign in Bill SB 277 into law. And if you think California is the only state that eliminated all those exemptions except medical, think again. Mississippi and West Virginia also followed suit. So I really don't have any doubt that the pharmaceutical industry would influence the Department of Justice's task force of the fact checkers to enforce the, speech on natural healing if SB 1424 does get passed. Who'd be placed on those decision panels? Do you want to take a guess?
Gee. Dave?
I can only wonder.
Well, there's this one company that's been batted about. It's called the International Fact-Checking Network. It's run by Poltner Institute, but it's funded in part by George Soros's Open Society Foundation. That possibly would be hired to help influence the panel. Now, if that happens, the opposing opinions of Californians would be sacrificed. Their ability to share them would be sacrificed. So free speech is going to be sanitized, and California's bill, 1424, attempts really to strip everyone of their right of informed consent and to be able to assess the truth of official news and to share their discoveries. I think this is really scary.
I think it's on its face blatantly unconstitutional and would never stand the test of a court challenge.
Well, I hope so, because, I think if it did get passed, I think, because we're living in insane times, we have to admit, nutcases are in positions of power. And, if it could become a foundation for other states to adopt a law such as that. So this kind of, now think about this. I'm going to go back a little ways. This kind of tyranny really isn't new. The biblical accounts tell us kings would forbid the worship of God and then severely punish anyone who went against the law. So they had worship police in ancient times. Think about it, So it's nothing new under the sun. But this bill, if it gets passed, it really does open the door to modify the initial intent to prohibit anything that goes against the official position of the state. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if California adopts this official stance, let's say for instance this bill gets passed, and then California just decides red meat's bad for you and fake meat is healthier for you. Okay, so what would be stopping them to enforce or ban the sale of red meat and the consumption of it and just allow fake meat to be sold? The insanity keeps going is what I mean.
It's funny, a lot of these laws are always, created in California.
where the nation tilts and all the nuts roll there. Yeah. I know.
Well, as goes California, so goes the rest of us.
Well, and the thing is we have to keep in mind, over in European Union countries, they lost over 20,000 herbs off their market just like that. When a law was passed. So, prohibitory use could be quickly enforced and you would know what to do. I want to read you this quote by Dr. Michael Ellner. He's a psychologist, but he says this. This kind of sums it up. He says, just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything's upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. And the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think that kind of sums it up.
It certainly does.
Well, I mean, you know, I think people need to keep this in the back of their mind. This is the opportune moment for people to learn as much as they can while they still have the freedom to get this knowledge about, you know, how to help themselves with natural therapies, you know, foods and nutrition. I was talking with Pastor Sanders the other week, and he was talking about some vaccine that changes DNA. And I'm like, Yeah. I mean, if you have a junk food diet and go to a healthy diet, science already knows that in 7 days your DNA has changed because you went to healthy eating. So just imagine what a vaccine does on a DNA level.
You know, it's interesting, though, with so much information at people's fingertips.
Yep.
And yet, it doesn't do them any good.
Well, I mean,
or does it?
It's really a horse to water kind of thing. When, yeah. You know, people pick their form of therapy they believe in, and that's what they go for. And that's what really everything is about. It's what you believe in, if you think about everything you do. So if you believe Scripture, and God says from Genesis to Revelation, herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and he can't lie, then what is stopping people from, you know, heeding that instruction and finding a better way to correct illnesses? Think about it.
Money.
And answers all things. It does.
Yeah.
It does. Oh, man. But if anybody would like a free catalog, we just got a new shipment of them. So we do send out catalogs. They can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, toll-free in U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. Of course, they can visit us on the web at thepowerherbs.com, but the toll-free is 866-229-3663. And I hope you had a good 4th of July. Did you?
Yes, absolutely I did. Absolutely. You still got about 30 seconds, Wendy.
Well, Dave, did you have a good firecracker event?
I did indeed.
Okay, very good.
And you?
I worked. We got a new computer system, and I had to learn the thing.
Ah.
So I did. I worked. It was challenging, but it's okay. We still got some bugs. We're still working on them. So new printers, new databases. It's a whole learning curve.
Is it going to make it life easier?
Technology eventually? We hope to. You know, technology is one of those double-edged swords. You know, it's got some conveniences, but at the same time, it's a pain in the butt.
Give us your number one more time, Wendy.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Wendy. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. And we'll be right back right after these short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs live and the archives at the website. Just go to the radio page. The first segment of the program today, I talked about a little comparison on $20 gold pieces pre-1933. I pulled out the prices from a month ago, June 11th. Spot gold was $12.99, and I looked at my $20 gold pieces today to see where they were landing, and I was pleasantly surprised. So we had a $50 drop in gold. We have Mint State 63, $20 gold pieces up $25. So a $50 drop in gold, and they're up $25. We see the same thing with Mint State 64, $20 Saint Gaudens. Now, they didn't go up as much as $25. They're only up $5, but they're not negative territory. The lower grades were corrected by maybe $10 on a $50 drop in spot gold. And so what it tells me, ladies and gentlemen, that people are buying $20 gold pieces, and that's why the prices haven't dropped as significantly as spot gold has. Now, I went back to June 22nd. I just pulled a date, June 22nd, to do a comparison with the prices of spot gold today. Now, there wasn't as big of a sharp drop. You're only looking at a $20 drop. But the big gain in the Mint State 63 actually came from the from June 22nd to today, and that shows a $35 gain on a $20 drop in gold. So my special today, ladies and gentlemen, are Mint State 63, $20 Liberty gold pieces. These are common dates, nothing spectacular. They're most likely, a lot of them will be 1904s. You know, might get a 1900 or maybe a 1907, and the price on those today are $1,475. $1,475 for Mint State 63, $20 gold pieces. You purchase two, and we'll include free shipping for you. So it's a great deal, a great buy, and these are so underpriced. One of my buyers sent me a chart from one of my, it's probably the biggest wholesaler in the country, and well, probably in the world, but definitely in this country. And they showed various pre-33 coins and the inventory. And the Mint State 63, $20 gold pieces have a 15-day inventory. That's incredible. That in a market that's been weak, with the amount of pressure that we have with spot gold, and we're looking at a 15-day inventory, that's amazing. And that's why these coins back in 2010 were selling for $3,000 plus. And today you can get them for $14.75. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And that is $1,475. And we all know that President Trump headed to his meeting, the NATO summit, and he started out with a bang. And he made headlines earlier today when he stated that Germany is totally controlled by Russia, describing how a number of inappropriate oil and gas deals had given Moscow too much influence over Berlin. He made these comments at the breakfast meeting in Brussels. And of course, he was sitting across from the UN Secretary General. And afterwards, President Macron, sitting next to Trump, and upon being asked whether he believes Germany is beholden to Russia, said, no, 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 no. He didn't say, oui, oui. He said, no, no. The European Union's data agency, Eurostat, estimates that Russia accounts for between 50 and 75% of Germany's gas imports, but its wider energy mix is a little bit more diverse. So, I mean, that is those are interesting stats, though.
Yeah, I mean, critics are arguing that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is to be laid under the Baltic Sea, is going to increase Europe's dependence on Russian gas. A number of other EU states have also flagged national security concerns. The pipeline's an $11 billion project directly connecting Germany and Russia. Nonetheless, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has previously expressed support for the project and insisted it's nothing more than a private commercial venture. Now, Trump met with Merkel later on Wednesday, Belgium time, in what was characterized as a frank but cool encounter. He's scheduled to sit down, President Trump, with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, Finland, next Monday. Trump has long criticized Berlin and other NATO allies for free-riding, as he calls it, on Washington's defense capabilities. Currently, only 5 of NATO's 29 member states allocate the 2% of their GDP to military spending that they're formally committed to as part of the NATO alliance. Those 5 are the U.S., the U.K., Greece, Little Estonia, and Poland.
Well, you know, Germany did pledge, and this goes back to May, that they were going to increase their defense spending up to 1.5% of GDP by 2025. Well, isn't that generous of them? Up from a low of 1.15% in 2015. And, you know, like, why aren't these companies should be paid? They should step up to the pump. They do need to do this. And I think this is why do we pay the bill? 100% of the bill. And Trump's administration policies indicate its views security and trade as intimately linked. And when it comes to the trade balance, no ally will be spared. President Trump has frequently lamented Germany's trade surplus with the U.S. They've threatened to slap tariffs on German cars. We already know that there are the steel and aluminum tariffs on all exporters to the U.S., including the EU, which had been temporarily exempt.
And if that wasn't enough, Melody, Trump told all NATO leaders later in the day today that they should double their defense spending to 4% of their nation's economic output, higher than the group's official goal of 2%. The White House said the president's remarks were not a formal proposal, but came as he was urging leaders to increase their outlays on defense. I don't know. You know, you talk about other countries stepping up to the plate, which certainly is reasonable. But sometimes I wonder, you know, is it me or has anyone else thought that maybe our own defense spending is a little bit too high as a percentage of GDP? Perhaps we ought to think about decreasing our defense spending instead of demanding that everyone else increase theirs.
That is a very good thought. That is a very good thought. China, they're looking for other ways to hit back at the U.S. tariffs, and the White House's latest threat of additional tariffs on billions of dollars of Chinese goods. Officials in Beijing are looking to hit back in other ways. The administration made good on the president's recent threats to escalate a trade war with a list of 10% tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods. Now, that is certainly a lot more significant than the $50 billion. So now we're talking. Now we're talking some
real
numbers
money.
Here. Real money here. And that number exceeds the total value of items China imports from the United States. And since it can't match Washington dollar for dollar, the Chinese officials familiar with these plans said that China is looking into alternatives. So the possibilities include, you know, they could delay approvals of mergers and acquisitions involving the U.S. companies. They could hold up licenses for U.S. firms and delay and ramping up inspections on American products at borders. And they can also begin to dump the U.S. dollars.
Yeah, indeed.
And that's the dangerous part.
That's a huge danger. I mean, U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm proposed the $44 billion acquisition of Chinese firm NXP Semiconductors, and for months has waited for approval from Chinese regulators. All other major governments have approved the deal. Now, earlier today, China's Commerce Ministry said it was shocked, Melody.
Shocked, I tell you.
Yep, and in a statement called the U.S. actions completely unacceptable. But China didn't immediately or publicly say just how it would retaliate other than complaining to the WTO. Now, the foreign ministry there has called the threats typical bullying and said that Beijing would hit back with a counterattack. The U.S. tariffs will not go into effect immediately and will undergo a two-month review process with hearings scheduled for late August. Some of the products on the list, the $200 billion, are part of the Made in China 2025 sectors, a strategic plan to make China a leader in key global industries like technology.
Well, you know, today they released the producer prices, and they were higher than expected. They increased slightly in June amid gains in the cost of services of motor vehicles, and that was leading to the biggest annual increase in about 6.5 years, Dave. The Labor Department said today it produced the producer price index for final demand climbed 0.3% last month, which was also lifted by increases in the gasoline prices. The PPI rose 0.5% in May. In the 12 months through June, the PPI is up 3.4%, and this is the largest gain since November 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. Some economists polled by Reuters, they forecasted the PPI gaining 0.2 and a rising 3.2% year on year. In the 12 months through June, the core PPI rose 2.7% after increasing 2.6% in May. So you would think inflation, just based on these little numbers, is on its way?
Up.
Up. Up, up, and away?
I mean, it seems to be gradually rising, especially against the backdrop of a labor market that's viewed as being near or at full employment. Although, you know, that labor market is showing fairly modest wage increases. The latest average annual earnings released, I think it was 2.7% year on year. Not exactly, exemplifying, the robust growth that we've been hearing about. Now, you know, the Fed's preferred inflation measure, that's the personal consumption expenditures index, which excludes food and energy. Go figure that.
I know.
I mean, just like the 3.8 or 4% full employment, which is, you know, when you include, people who work in part-time who can't find full-time jobs or who are just discouraged from working is, 8% virtually. I don't know. It's go figure. And, you know, certainly look at it with a jaundiced eye. But, you know, it hit the Fed 2% target in May for the first time in 6 years. Now, a 22% jump in the index for fuels and lubricants retailing accounted for about 40% of the rise in the cost of services last month.
Well, you know, Dave, and I think this is interesting because the U.S. crude output has remained above the 10 million barrel a day mark since February.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Now, we know that the Saudi Arabia total, OPEC, it pumped about 10.5 million barrels of crude a day last month. There's concerns. Concerns are lingering over the worsening bottleneck in the biggest U.S. shale region, the Permian Basin, and how that might affect domestic output in the second half of the year.
Yeah, that's, due to the limited pipeline transportation in that region, you know, production may start to slow in the area. That's according to Scott Sheffield, who chairs the Pioneer Natural Resources Company, who said last month, we will reach capacity, that is in the Permian Basin, in the next 3 to 4 months. The EIA left its average domestic output forecast for this year unchanged at about 10.8 million barrels a day. That's above the 1970 record of 9.6 million a day. And its crude global crude production forecast for next year was raised to over 102 million barrels a day from a previous forecast of, what, about 300,000 barrels less. The agency, their world demand growth estimate for 2019 was lowered accordingly. Melody.
So that would be interesting. The U.S. is set to become the top oil producer, producing more than OPEC.
Yeah, astounding. Who'd have thought that ten years ago?
Yeah, but there's a lot of questions that come to that, and that's the petrodollar for one.
No, absolutely.
And if we continue to, you know, with all the sanctions and the trade wars and so forth, will we be able to, who's going to buy from us? Now they're forced to buy. Will they continue? Will other countries be forced to buy oil in U.S. dollars? I mean, if we're the top producer, yes, they will have to. But are they going to find other areas? You know, will they? You know, I mean, if they choose to buy oil from OPEC, they certainly don't have to do it in U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting on what really is going to happen to the petrodollar.
And I'm sure Russia and China haven't stopped exploring their own lands.
Exactly, exactly. We have about 45 seconds left. I'm not sure if we can do this segment. It's kind of interesting and puts into perspective, and maybe we'll follow this right after the break, of exactly our U.S. national debt visualized. Now, it's a little hard to do it on the radio, but Jeff Desjardins, he's editor-in-chief of Visual Capitalist, writes that for most people, our experiences in everyday life are with using lower numbers like 1, 2, or 10. So we don't comprehend what it means, sometimes, these numbers. And it's difficult to visualize exactly what numbers might look like. And he's talking about apples. And we're going to talk about this when we come back, as we're heading into a break right now. So please stay tuned. And we're going to talk about apples when we get back. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Good afternoon. Dave, I'm going to let you do the intro. I got a little froggy in my throat.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but Kermit, you know, do what you got to do. So this article Melody was talking about, you know, asked, are there 1,500 or 2,000 people at a music venue? You know, it's hard to know for sure for most of us, but, you know, we do at least have a basic comprehension of, you know, the sizes of those numbers. You know, every day we do math with numbers in the thousands, you know, paycheck, a credit card bill, or paying rent. But millions, billions, and trillions? This is where things start to get a little dodgy. You know, once numbers get beyond the millions, you know, we really don't have any intuition, according to scientists, concrete familiarity either, or comprehension of what those numbers mean. You know, for example, 1 million seconds. Well, that equals 12 days. 1 billion seconds. 32 years. 1 trillion seconds, 32,000 years. We're off to another galaxy. You know, going back in time, a trillion seconds would place you well before written history, the building of the pyramids, and 10,000 years before the first cave wall paintings appeared in France. You know, our brains don't really know what to do with these giant abstractions, and so it helps to think about them in different ways, especially visually. Looking at visual representations of these numbers helps to put them in perspective. You know, it's all common sense. You know, a series of 3D graphics, demonocracy.info, helps to do this for the $20+ trillion in U.S. federal government debt. It starts with the simple $100 bill and goes from there. You know, the visual of more than $1 trillion in credit card debt, not just Americans, shows a 5-foot stack of $100 bills on top of a typical crate spread out for an entire block that stretches from the Treasury building on the east of the White House, past the White House to the west on Pennsylvania Avenue, and beyond the old executive office building. Even more, the federal government's debt, Melody, of $21.2 trillion is seen in a massive skyscraper-like series of at least 18 stacks of $100 bills, each higher than the Statue of Liberty. Now, you can see all the graphics as well as the entire article at our Facebook page, which is at DGS Coins. That's the at sign DGS Coins. Or if you have a Facebook account, just search Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Melody.
All right. Well, you know, talking about credit card debt or just debt, it's kind of interesting. What do you think Americans would do to get out of credit card debt? I mean, sometimes all you have to do is, you know, cut out that pop a day, and you'd be surprised how much you can save. And Dave, if you could erase your credit card debt by giving up Facebook, well, we don't have credit card debt. Those that are in gold and silver, we eliminate our debt.
That's right.
Suppose you have debt. If you could erase your credit card debt by giving up Facebook for a year, would you do it?
Oh, my God. I've been looking for a good reason to do that.
There you go. Most Americans said in the survey they would give up social media, among other things, to get rid of their debt. And America's credit card debt has continued to climb over $1 trillion. And the average cardholder having a balance of $6,375, and this is according to Experian. So 1 in 3 Americans is losing sleep over their debt, and 1/4 report that debt has hurt the relationships with family. The survey was conducted online in April and questioned 1,054 adults with more than $500 in credit card debt. And those that have the debt said they would do extreme things to erase it, even before they would seek out any type of financial advice. So even though 68% of those credit card debt are concerned about how they will pay it off, very few have plans in place to get rid of it. So they're going to keep it.
Yep. It's an addiction. I mean, that's, I guess, one way of maybe explaining it. We feel comfortable, too comfortable.
But you know how many times I can remember in my younger years when it comes to automobiles, it was the mindset, well, I'm always going to have a car payment.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, I may as well, you know, go get a new car every, you know, when the, you know, when the warranty expires.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna go get, and this is the conditioning of the consumer out there.
Well, you know, and 20% of credit card carriers don't even know the interest rate on their credit card, according to surveys. And more than three quarters carry, you know, a balance from month to month instead of paying their bill in full. I mean, obviously, because they can't afford to. You know, as you suggested, people rarely act or ask proactively how they can avoid debt. But interesting, as you started off this piece, when asked what they do to get rid of their debt, those surveyed, Melody, gave these answers. About a third give up their favorite treat for 1 year. That's not a big deal. 31% would quit all social media for a year. Now, that could have a significant impact on advertiser rates. Do it, people, do it. 21% would get a tattoo of their favorite musician. I like that one. 8% would move to Antarctica for 2 years. And 7% each said they would either give up a pet or donate one of their kidneys. And I don't know about you, Melody, but I still like my dogs and kidneys, you know, better than I like my debt.
Yes, I would never give up little Ruby.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, little Ruby is here to stay. But again, those of us who understand real money, the first thing that we do and we encourage everyone to do is get out of debt. Don't be a slave to those credit cards and those interest rates and, you know, mortgages. Try to pay it down as soon as possible. You know, we forget. We just continue to pay. We forget how much the banks are really making on us. And it's
such wasted money, all that interest you're paying every month.
Absolutely. Something else is interesting, and I like our articles today because they're really interesting and kind of gives us an idea of the country. And, you know, for those of you who are looking to relocate for new jobs and so forth, if you can't find one where you're at right now, and a lot of people are doing that, there's a lot of relocating going on. The CNBC Global CFO Council, they released their latest best and worst states to do business in. And the survey scores all 50 states on more than 60 measures on competitiveness, including the infrastructure, cost of doing business, economy, quality of life, access to capital, cost of living, and quality of education. And these states, the states receive points based on their rankings in each metric. Then they're separated into 10 broad categories, weighted based on how frequently each is used. So let's get down to the states.
Yeah.
So applying those metrics, the top 10 states in this year's rankings are Florida, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Georgia, Minnesota, Colorado. And these are states that, you know, we probably could have guessed. Virginia, Utah, Washington, and number one is Texas. So, yeah, those are, you know, you don't see California in there anymore, do you?
Yeah, I forget where they fell, but certainly not in the top 10 or the bottom 10. On the other end of the spectrum, the 10 worst states to do business in, Melody, were, and this is 40 to 50, Arkansas, Alabama, Kentucky, New Mexico, Louisiana, Maine, and Rhode Island were tied for 45th, followed by Hawaii, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Alaska. Hmm. That was some interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you need to look for a job, you go to those top 10, Florida. I mean, and they all make sense. You know, they really all make sense. But I wonder how many millions of dollars was spent on that survey when all they had to do was call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375. And we would have taken the questionnaire to the listeners, and we probably could have come up with that same list for absolutely nothing at all. But anyway, Men State 63, $20 Liberty Gold pieces as a special today, $1,475. And again, just a quick recap. And Dave and I were talking during the break, and I really do believe they just truly hit the sector today, the commodity sector. You had zinc, you had copper. They hit one-year lows on fresh on these tariff threats. When these big sectors move, and along with a strong dollar, this is what we're going to have. But we know the U.S. cannot handle a strong dollar. That will become weaker. And with all the other geopolitical problems that we face, you know, it has everyone baffled. And people are the ones that will be the most surprised. And you said it best during the break, Dave, that, this is going to happen so quickly. And people are going to be caught so unaware that they're going to lose 60-70% perhaps of their funds if they don't have a hard asset to offset the paper losses. So give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, at 1-800-375-4188. And speaking of lots of money, we're running a little bit out of time, and you know, maybe, and I want to tell each and every one of you that if you win the $340 million Mega Millions jackpot, you better be calling Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
You best believe.
Yes, you better be calling us. But the Mega Millions jackpot is up to $340 million for Friday night's drawing. And everybody daydreams about what they would do, and they share, and they get all excited, and they go out, and they gamble some money, and to see if they're going to win. If you're fortunate enough to win, the best thing that you can do is protect your identity. And that's probably a very difficult thing to do in today's world. And some states allow winners to easily remain anonymous. Others do not. In some states, as long as you plan ahead, you can create a trust to receive your winnings as a way to avoid your name being attached to the money. So what are we supposed to do? Go out and open a trust and just hope that we...
And trust may not be for everybody. You know, I have a feeling that some winners want their friends to know that they've won and they're going to be on easy street. But that's certainly falls under the category of be careful what you wish for, especially when it comes to a lot of money. Sarah O'Brien of CNBC News offers some practical tips for trying to maintain privacy if you do win big. You know, first she says, contain yourself. You know, your first urge might be to share your exciting news with, well, the world. However, the fewer people who know, the better. I mean, this is the case even if you're able to claim your prize anonymously. You know, second, get off the internet. And once you're off, stay off for a while. You know, you won't be able to remain anonymous when you collect your winnings. Shut down your social media accounts in advance. You know, you ought to also want to make sure there's as little personal information out there, like your phone number or address. Three, plan an escape. Use some of that money and skip town immediately after you claim the prize. You know, just being out of town for a week or so can help. You know, in the days of the 24-hour news cycle, the interest in a winner will hopefully disappear after just a few days. Melody.
It's sad because we hear story after story of people who've won the lottery. And in so many years, in fact, I think they even did some sort of a reality show on lottery winners and what they did with their winnings. We used to have a caller, Dave, and he since has passed on. He lived in Michigan, and his neighbor actually won the lottery. I guess she was husband and wife won the lottery. It was, I don't know, it was a big, wasn't $300 million, but it was significant. And it was two houses down. They moved in this big old mansion and everything. And they got into the drugs. They ended up in a divorce. And, you know, he ended up taking half. She ended up taking half. And she ended up, I think you told me she ended up selling this mansion just to pay the taxes.
Oh.
Because they went through all the money. They just allow all the, you know, all the normal things that, you know, people aren't prepared.
That's sad.
To handle this wealth. And it's the same thing when it comes to people with their, with a lot of your personal wealth too. If you don't get out of debt, you know, if you don't protect the money that you make, you're just going to lose it one way or another. You're not going to, you need a plan. And so it's the same way with your gold. You need to protect your paper assets, and that's what gold does. So it does tie into there when we see when you have large, you know, winnings or savings. Just don't let it sit there. Don't let it get the best of you. You inherit money. What should you do? You protect it. And so
discount gold and silver. 1-800-375-4188. Should I say that again, Melody?
I think you should.
1-800-375-4188, dgscoins.com on the internet, dgscoins.com.
And I'd wanted to talk a little bit about, there's a couple of things we couldn't get to today, but particularly the Fed's aggressive tightening, turning markets on the gold and silver. We'll be talking about that when we return, Dave and I, on Friday, but tomorrow, Butch Paul will be here, and I will be too. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you,
Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.